Good afternoon, everybody. It is good to be together. Last week, we wrapped up a series called Fixer Upper. Next week, Pastor Rob will launch that series called Found. And so here we are in the week in between. And so let me start by telling you the story of this checkered pink shirt that I am wearing. It was about a year and a half ago, and I was driving to church on a Sunday morning. And it was one of the weekends that I was preaching. And normally, my habit is that I will not wear the shirt that I'm going to be wearing on the stage. I normally have it on a hanger and I bring it with me so it doesn't get wrinkled by the seatbelt because I don't want to iron the shirt twice. So I'm driving to church on a Sunday morning and I'm pulling onto the church campus and I realize I'm not wearing anything but an undershirt and I didn't bring another shirt with me. Okay, so we're getting pretty close to the 9 o'clock service. I only have an undershirt. What am I going to do? So I think to myself, okay, what's open right now? Target's probably open right now. So I go across the street to Target and I quickly go to the men's clothing section, just hoping to find some kind of shirt that will look decent and fit. This is the first shirt I see. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a lot of time to be going through options, so I guess I'll be rocking the pink today. So I grab the checkered pink shirt and I go to check out. Now, you know this is true whenever you're in a hurry, that things never work out smooth, right? So I go to check out, and I'm third in line. There's someone checking out, and they have this complicated, convoluted thing, and the cashier doesn't know how to ring it up, and so now they got to call over the manager, and I am dying 1,000 deaths. I am looking at my watch like, I can't be late to preach. That would be the lamest thing in the whole world. So I'm watching this happen, and they're starting to resolve that transaction, and I awkwardly tap the shoulder of the woman in front of me, and I go into this really awkward conversation where I say, hey, listen, I need to ask you a favor. I'm a pastor across the street at Vineyard Cincinnati, and I actually have to be preaching in a few minutes, and so would you mind if I cut in front of you to check out? I don't even think she really believed me, but she let me in front of her anyway. And so I check out. I get here on time with my checkered pink shirt, and I preach the weekend. You know what happened that weekend? It was just another good, normal weekend here at Vineyard Cincinnati. Like, no one knew that I was having a forgot my shirt kind of morning, right? And so I realized in those moments that whether you're having a got your shirt kind of morning or a forgot your shirt kind of morning, that God is still doing his thing. God is always doing his thing regardless of whether or not we're having a forgot your shirt kind of day, a forgot your shirt kind of week. Whatever's going on in our lives, however we would describe that, God is always doing his thing and he's always up to something good. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says it this way. This is Paul writing to a group of believers in the city of Philippi. He says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am confident that God is up to something good and he's never going to stop. He is going to keep going and one day it's going to be perfected. So I have good news for everybody in the room today that God is never going to give up on you. He's never going to stop. He's never going to give up. So I just want to look at four basic words in this very simple verse this weekend, and I got more good news for you. You're only going to have to listen for about 20 minutes today because you're actually going to provide about 10 minutes of the content in this message. And when we get to that point, it will all make sense. But let's look at four basic words in this verse. The first word is he. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's his work. God is up to something good. God is at work undoing the effects of sin and evil in our lives and restoring our relationship with him. And this is the work that he has begun. The big word for that is redemption. And this work began right after the fall. You have the creation account in Genesis, right? Everything is good. Then sin and evil enter the world and it has devastating effects. And immediately God says, I'm going to fix this. And this story of redemption, this good work that God is doing all over the world, has been happening through human history. God has begun a good work of undoing the effects of sin and evil in our lives and restoring our relationship with him. So this work has begun in the whole world. It's also true that at a certain point in time, local congregations joined that work. Right? So Vineyard Cincinnati hasn't been around forever. Vineyard Cincinnati officially began in 1987. So in that year, God has something in his mind that he is always doing. God is always at work. And so Vineyard Cincinnati begins as a gathering of believers here in Cincinnati. And God is doing a good work. He has something in his mind. And he's never going to stop doing that good work. And so he is doing a good work in this church and through this church. This collection of people that call Vineyard Cincinnati Church home. God has begun a good work. And that work began in 1987, particular to this place. Also true, God has begun a good work in your life. Do you remember when that work began? Do you remember what, for the first time you became aware of God's presence, of his love for you, of the truth of his word? Do you remember when God intersected your life? Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember what was going on in your heart? Can you remember the kinds of thoughts you were thinking? Can you remember the circumstances of your life? See, for all of us, we entered the story at different moments in time. Some of you, this work began 40, 50 years ago. Some of you entered the story 20 years ago. Some of you entered the story 10 years ago. Some of you 5 years ago. Some of you 1 year ago. Some of you are sitting here this weekend, and this story is just beginning right now. He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion, and he's never going to stop. We didn't all start at the same time. We didn't all begin in the same place. But the truth is that here we are together, and together we are a part of this good work that God is doing in the world, in our church called Vineyard Cincinnati Church, and in our lives as individuals. I can remember when my story started. I was 15 years old. And I was the youngest of five kids. Well, I am the youngest of five kids still. And that never changes. I'm always the baby. And three older sisters, and then my brother's the oldest. My brother's 8 years older than I am. So when he was graduating from high school, I was in fourth grade. So I didn't know my brother very well. And when he left to go to the Air Force, I didn't really care. In fact, I was glad that he left, because the only thing I really knew is that he got in a lot of trouble and he fought with my dad a lot. And so when he left, there was just a lot less fighting in the house. And so I was just glad that he was gone. Several years later now, my freshman year of high school, my brother starts calling home telling us that he had become what he was referring to as a born-again Christian, talking to us about his relationship with Jesus, heaven and hell, and I'm like, what in the world has happened to my brother? He invites me to go to a Christian music festival with some of his Air Force buddies. I didn't even know there was Christian music, so I didn't really know what I was going to. I just knew it'd be cool to go get to know my brother a little better and hang out with him. It was Air Force guys. They rented an RV, so I'm all in for this trip. I go to this Christian music festival, and for the first time in my life, I see thousands of people that had a different kind of look in their eyes. It was as if they knew God in a very real way that I didn't know. And it mattered to them on a very real, everyday level. It wasn't just church or religion for them. And I was intrigued, and God started to do this work in me. And I sat in the grass during a concert, and I said to God, God, if what these people know is you, then I want to get to know you. So I go back home to New Jersey. I look up in the yellow pages the kind of church that my brother had started going to, and I asked my mom, will you drop me off at this church? And at 15 years old, I started going to church by myself. And it was amazing, because it was like the pastor would teach, and I was like, why didn't anyone ever tell this to me before? And all these light bulbs were going off, and all of a sudden, things started to change on the inside of me, and I could feel it, and it was exciting, but it was also challenging all of my relationships and the way I was thinking and what I was doing, and all of this stuff was going on at the same time. That's when it began for me. He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The second word is good. He who began a good work in you. I think sometimes it's just good for us to remember that the work he's doing is good. You know why we need to remind ourselves of that? Because it doesn't always feel good. There's a huge difference between something being good and something feeling good. Right? And so I told my daughter, Courtney, who is my oldest daughter, she had this procedure done recently, and it has a funny word. And so I told her, I'm going to work this into a message at some point, because I just want to say this word out loud in public. She had a phrenectomy. And she said, well, why are you going to talk about a frenectomy? And I said, because I want to use the word frenectomy as much as possible in a message because I just like the word frenectomy. So Courtney decides that she wants a frenectomy. And I realized, my wife told me that insurance would cover most of it, so it wasn't very expensive. So Dad says, well, if you want a frenectomy, I will purchase the frenectomy so that you can have the frenectomy. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world is a frenectomy? And here's what it is. Courtney had a small gap in her front teeth. And she didn't like the gap. I thought the gap was cool, but she didn't like the gap. And so a frenectomy is just cutting out some of the gums that are pushing the teeth apart so that the teeth will naturally close. That's a frenectomy. So Courtney wants a frenectomy. Courtney, you want the frenectomy? Yes, Father, I would like the frenectomy. Okay, then your father will provide for you the frenectomy. And the day comes to have the frenectomy. Now, Courtney volunteered for the frenectomy, was excited about the frenectomy on the day of the frenectomy. How do you think Courtney felt? Nervous, anxious. Why? Anticipating some possible pain, right? Now, why would you volunteer for something that you know is going to cause some anxiety, some discomfort, some possible pain? Why would you volunteer for any of that unless you knew that there were going to be some good results on the other side that you were anticipating? We get that in every area of our lives, except sometimes I think in terms of our relationship with God. If it is true that God is doing a good work in us, and if it is true that the primary thing that he is doing is undoing the effects of sin and evil in our lives and restoring our relationship with him, doesn't it stand to reason that sometimes that process is going to be a little bit uncomfortable? That sometimes you're going to go through seasons where you just don't quite like it. It knocks you out of balance a little bit, right? So we have to remind ourselves that regardless of how we're perceiving our circumstances, that God is always up to something good in our lives. When it feels good, it's good. When it doesn't feel good, it's good. When it feels like a mountaintop spiritual experience, it's good. When it feels like it's in the valley and you'd rather be 1,000 other places, it's good. When you feel like you can explain and understand perfectly what he's doing, it's good. When you feel out of balance and confused, like you're not sure what God is up to, it's good. When you're having a got my shirt kind of day, it's good. When you have a forgot my shirt kind of day, it's good. God is always doing something good in your life. And I will not say the word frenectomy anymore. The third word, he who began a good work in you. Now, I'm going to share with you a deeply theological word now. You ready for it? Here it is. It's going on the screen. Y'all. This actually matters. In English, we have one word for you, both singular and plural. It's you. It's not true of every language on the planet. Lots of languages have singular you and plural you. We don't. So when you read your Bible in English, in the New Testament especially, you read you, the word you, and you automatically think individual because you're an American and that's how you think. Right? So you read who began a good work in you, and you think that it's talking about you as an individual. That is not what Paul was saying. That is a plural you. Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he said, God is doing something good in you collectively. As a community, a group of people. In fact, if you would, from now on, when you read your Bible in the New Testament, if you will just tell yourself that whenever you see the word you, it's y'all, the vast majority of the time you'll be right and you'll read it better. Y'all, us, usins, weasins, whatever word you want to use, right? We got to jump over our American individuality and remember that the biblical mindset doesn't have much room for Lone Ranger Christianity. If you are attempting Christianity as an individual, Lone Ranger kind of mentality, chances are you're struggling or losing. But when you embrace community and the plural you, the y'all, the game changes. 1 Peter chapter 2 says it like this: you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Another way to think about it is that Christianity is a team sport. I read this article in the Lexington Herald Leader. Just one thought out of this article. The author says, permit me a humble analogy. You might see yourself as a terrific baseball pitcher, but if you only throw baseballs in your backyard at a plywood cutout, you won't progress. You're not even really playing baseball. To discover the full extent of your abilities, to understand the true game, you need a catcher, a coach, infielders, outfielders, even someone standing in the batter's box ready to swat your best fastball right back at you. The same with being a Christian. You can't do it well by yourself. Another way to think about it would be one of our six core values here at Vineyard Cincinnati, being together. We were made for relationship and community. There's something good about being together. The church is described as a body and as a family. God shows up in unique ways when we gather in groups, large or small. Life is better done together. Now, if all of that is true, if God really is up to something good and he's never, ever, ever gonna stop, and if this work is good, if he really is doing something of significance that is eternal, if he is really undoing the effects of sin and evil in our lives, if he's really doing that work in our church, and if he's never gonna stop on the good days and the bad days, if God has something in his mind that he is up to, would it not stand to reason that we would wanna be all in? Wouldn't we wanna say, God, whatever you're doing, we wanna partner with that. We wanna do the best we possibly can to be all about what you are doing. And so, we're about to do an activity because sometimes it's good to just pause and ask some real questions, honest questions. Questions like, who are we? Right? Like, we say a lot, we're an increasingly diverse church, and you can look around and notice it, but like, who are we? Like, what is this weird collection of people that call Vineyard Cincinnati their home? Who are we? How are we doing? What's God doing? And how are we doing partnering with God is doing, right? Like, you just want to get some honest information and really ask these questions, because if either this matters or it doesn't, right? So either we want to do it the best we can, or we can just go through the motions and play church, and I don't think any of us want to play church, so sometimes it's good to pause and just ask some of those questions. And so we're going to do an activity that will take us about 8 minutes, and then for the remainder of the time, I'm going to talk about one more word in Philippians 1:6. So right now, I'm going to invite all of you to take out your phone or your tablet, and we're going to give you some instructions. And if you absolutely cannot use a device, then in just a moment, the ushers are going to make their way out of the room. They have paper copies of what we're about to do. Now, I will say this. They're going to put some instructions on the screen. Don't start this yet. We're going to walk through this question by question, but you can start to find it on your device. You can do one of two things. Just in your browser, type surveymonkey.com/r/VCC2017, or simply text the word vine to 97000, okay? Now, we're giving the Wi-Fi bandwidth a run for its money right now. And so if you're on your phone and you're willing to, you could turn off your Wi-Fi and just use your cell data. I promise you this SurveyMonkey hit will not hit any much of your data at all. So if for whatever reason your device is struggling, just go ahead and turn off your Wi-Fi. Now, the team that is going to compile all of this data, they are hoping for as little manual work as possible on the back end of this, which is why we'd love for you to use your device. But if you cannot use a device right now or you don't have one, right now the ushers are going to start making their way around the room and they have a paper copy of what we're about to do. Okay, so just raise your hand and the ushers, it'll take them a minute or so to get around the room. Everybody, whether this is your first weekend visiting or you've been here for 20 years or so, if you're here as spouses, it's great for both of you to take it. What we're doing is we're just getting a really good snapshot of one weekend here at Vineyard Cincinnati Church. So as many of you as can take it, take this quick survey will be really helpful. Because once again, we're asking three questions. Who are we? And how are we doing? And what's God up to? All right, so you're finding it on your devices. Once again, if you're struggling with your device, you can either go paper or turn off your Wi-Fi. Some of you come in with like 5 devices connected, right? Like as soon as you come into the building, like you got watches and sneakers and phones and tablets and connected all over the place, right? Okay, now here's the truth about walking through this. It will not be the most exciting thing you've done in the last period of time, but it's a very worthwhile thing for us to do. The first like third of it, very easy questions will fly through, more demographic type stuff, and then we're going to get more into your spiritual progress and how we're doing as a church. Okay, so here we go. Question number one. This response is from obviously Tri-County Sunday at noon. And number two, your zip code. Number three, you're from your home to this location. How long of a drive is it for you? Just trying to figure out, where are we all from? So from your home, under 10 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, over 30 minutes. Question four, you are female or male? Question five, is your age? A great time to remind you that this is an anonymous survey. Question six, your most significant religious influence prior to the Vineyard. So let me take just a moment on this. If you go to the third option, which is Orthodox Church, that would be Greek Orthodox or Eastern Orthodox. If you were one of those, you would know it. Catholic Church. Protestant Church is any Christian denomination that was not Orthodox or Catholic, okay? Then you have Judaism, Islam, any other religious or spiritual influences, or none. If you just had none, this is Vineyard is your first ever religious or spiritual environment. Question seven, the race or ethnic group with whom you most closely identify. Just check one there, please. Question eight, your current relationship status. Single and have never been married, single living with a partner, married, separated or divorced, or widowed. Number nine, age of your youngest child. Ranging everywhere from not a parent to my kids are 18 years or older. Question 10, household income. Question 11, your education level, ranging everywhere from have not yet graduated high school graduate, technical school or other, which would be like a two-year degree, some college, which means you might have started but didn't finish, graduated college with a four-year degree, or graduate school or more. We're doing well. We're more than a third of the way through. Some of you are thinking, gosh, I'd rather go get a frenectomy right now. I said I wasn't gonna use that word again, and I just did. Social media apps you use regularly. Check all that apply. 13, how long have you been attending the Vineyard? Ranging everything from less than a year to 13 years or more. How often do you attend the Vineyard? I just started coming, occasionally, maybe 2 to 4 times a year, monthly or weekly. Do you consider the Vineyard to be your church home? Simple question, yes or no. 16, how did you first come to this church? Was it personal invitation? You saw an ad or yard sign somewhere on the internet? You were served in some way. Someone did something kind and practical for you. They told you they went to Vineyard Cincinnati, and you said, if that's what those people are like, I'd like to go there. Word of mouth recommendation or some other form. I don't know, a vision, skywriting, beats me. 17, membership at the Vineyard. I am a shareholder. I am not interested in becoming a shareholder. I am considering becoming a shareholder. I have no idea what a shareholder is. Question 18, how many people have you invited to a Vineyard weekend service in the past year? 0, 1 to 3, 4 to 10, or 11 or more. Question 19 is like it, but slightly different. How many people have you invited to a Vineyard class or event in the past year? So you've invited them to something at church, but not a weekend service. 20, do you currently serve as a volunteer at the Vineyard or at the Healing Center? Occasionally, once a month, twice a month or more, not serving at this time. We're almost home. Last set of 10 questions. What types of groups are you currently involved in at the Vineyard? You're going to choose all of them that apply. Okay, so how are you involved in the church outside of a weekend service? Small group, serving team, midweek class or Bible study, support or recovery group, or I am not currently involved beyond attending on the weekends. Question 22, how did you find out about the group that you are most actively involved in? So think about the place where you're most actively involved outside of the weekend service. If it is none, then you're going to check that last one, which is I'm not in a group. But how did you find out about what you're involved in? Question number 23, giving at the Vineyard. I give 1 to 4% of my income, 5 to 9%, 10% or more. I give what I can when I can. I do not give at the Vineyard. 24, have you entered into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes, while attending the Vineyard. Yes, prior to attending the Vineyard, or not yet. And there I would say, if you have, you would know it. 25, how often do you read the Bible? Daily, a few times a week, a few times a month, seldom, or never. Oh, we're so close to the finish line. How often do you pray? Daily, a few times a week, a few times a month, seldom or never. I know if some of you want to like add an extra circle in there, just pick one, the one that most closely applies to you. How would you characterize, question 27, your current spiritual growth? Pick one of these four that most accurately describes you. Rapid, moderate, slow but steady, stalled. 28, how satisfied are you with the impact Vineyard Cincinnati Church has had on your personal spiritual growth? Subjective question, pick one of the four. Extremely satisfied, satisfied, dissatisfied, too soon to say. Almost there. 29, do you know what you need to do to take your next step for spiritual growth? Right now, as you sit here, do you know what's next for you to continue to grow? Yes or no? And question 30, what do you most want right now in your spiritual journey? Pick one of these options. Help me understand the Bible better. Help me develop a personal relationship with Christ. Help me develop a prayer life. Help me in my time of emotional need. Provide a clear pathway to guide growth. Or help me to feel like I belong. If you're on a device, you can click done. If you did that on paper, you can just hold on to that. And on your way out, when we dismiss, the ushers will be at the doors with containers, and you can drop that in. I want to say thank you for doing that, because once again, if God is really doing something that's good, then it's good for us to just pause every once in a while and ask some real questions and get some real information, right? So who are we? How are we doing? What is God up to? And so thank you for participating in that. And now I'd like to look at one last word in this simple verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it's the word completion. He who began a good work in you, us, y'all, is going to carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So what that's saying is there is a work that God is doing. There is a process that we are all involved in. One day when we see Jesus face to face, that process will be over and we will be perfected. The word for that is glorification. That is a really good moment in time where everything is perfected, but we don't live there yet. We are currently living in this process of this good work that God is doing. So we are not perfect yet. So here is a really helpful thing for us all to embrace. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. God is doing this good work, and he is undoing the effects of sin and evil in our lives, and he's restoring our relationship with him. And this process, which is a lifelong process, is called sanctification. God is doing this work in all of us. So we are this mixed bag of good and bad and getting better and sin and evil and God's redemption in our lives, right? And so there are days where I've got my shirt, and there are days where I've forgot my shirt. There are days when I put my head on the pillow at night and I think to myself, I am the jerkiest dad on the planet. And there are days when I put my head on the pillow at night and I say, my kids are so lucky to have me as a father. And guess what? Both of those things are true. If you followed me around, there would be days where you watched my life and you would say, that guy's a pastor? And then there would be days where you think to yourself, that is a really spiritually mature dude, and I wish I knew Jesus the way he does. And guess what? Both of those would be right. Why? Because I am currently engaged in the process of sanctification where God is doing this good work in my life, and it's never perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. God is doing this work. Our job is to recognize that it's good and to participate with him the best we know how, but to always recognize that he is doing this really good work, and he's never, ever, ever gonna stop. Sometimes we wanna tap out. Sometimes we want to quit, but God is never going to quit. God is never going to give up on you. And so I'm watching the March Madness games, right? I've absorbed lots of hours of basketball over the last several days. And for the record, my bracket is just done. I've ripped it up and thrown it away. So now I'll just root for underdogs the whole way. So I'm watching a basketball game, and I don't even remember the teams. I've watched so many games over the last few days. About 10 seconds left in the game. And one of the teams goes up by 1 point. But one of the players on that team thinks that they're still down by a point. And so the other team inbounds the ball, and he's thinking to himself, when you're down by a point, the right thing to do is to intentionally foul the other team, stops the clock, they go shoot from free throws, you hope they miss those free throws, and we go back down the court and try to score to win. So he intentionally fouls the other team. Wrongly. His team was winning by one. So the other team goes down, shoots two free throws, takes the lead, and wins the game. Man, he made a huge mistake. He didn't mean to make that mistake. He's just playing a basketball game. He made that mistake on national TV. Ugh. Golly, are you kidding me? Can you imagine what that dude felt like? What he probably still feels like today? And I can relate to those kinds of feelings. You have those moments where you feel like you really screwed up. You have seasons where you feel like you are a screw up. Right? And so you watch that kind of thing and you think, golly. First you think, oh, I'm glad I'm not that dude. And then you start getting some empathy kicking in, right? And I imagine what the conversation with his coach must have been like in the locker room. I highly doubt that the coach in the locker room looked at him and screamed at him and said, you idiot, look what you've done to this team. You've made a horrible mistake, and now I'm benching you for the first 5 games of next season. Do you think that's how that went? I don't think that's how it went. I think that coach put his arm around that dude and said, hey, listen, I love you, and you're an important part of this team. And yeah, you made a mistake, but there's going to be another season for us to play basketball. And so we look forward to next season. Now listen, you know this and I know this. That dude probably wants to go hide in a hole, but the only way forward for him is to get back on the basketball court and keep playing. That's the only way forward. And we translate that to our relationship with God. Listen, if God is doing this good work and he's never ever going to give up on you, that means that he's not benched you. He's going to put his arm around you and say, I love you and I forgive you. Come on, the way forward is to stay in the game. You got to stay in the game. So while sometimes we give up on ourselves, God is never going to give up. And so I want to end our time together by asking you a very honest question. And it will take gut level honesty and some boldness, but we're all in this together, so I think we can do this in this room, right? Have you benched yourself? In terms of your relationship with God, and the good work that God is doing both in your life and in the life of this church. Have you made some kind of mistake or there's something going on in your life where you have benched yourself? Because I think today what God would say to you is, come on, let's get back in the game. I forgive you, I love you, I'm doing a good work, but I need you to get off the bench and I need you to get back in the game. And so today, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold and really honest. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand if that's you. And then once you've stood, we're all going to stand together and we're going to pray together. Okay, so if that's you, if you've benched yourself and today you say, I want back in the game. God is doing a good work and I want back in. I'm just right now, all over this room and in the balconies, I'm just going to ask you to stand and then we're all going to join you and pray together. Yeah, thank you for your honesty. Here's the truth about that question. If I ask that question again 3 months from now, it just might be a different group of us that has to stand, right? Because that's life in different seasons. Let me ask the rest of you to stand, join them. Ask you to take a walk on the wild side with me if you're willing and just put your hands out with your palms up as a signal to God that you're willing to receive from him today. And let's pray together. God, we embrace the truth of your word today, that you have begun a good work in us, and you are going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You're never, ever going to stop. Thank you, God, for that good work. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for redemption, that you are undoing the work of sin and evil in our lives. Thank you for placing value in us. Thank you for including us. We receive all of it today. We look forward to the day that it is perfect. But for now, we stand here just wanting to participate the best we know how with the good work that you're doing in the world and in our church and in our lives. And we thank you for all of it because we know it's good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Communion is available, balcony level and floor. Prayer team available up front. Have a great week.